Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, wait, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, at halftime of the Bears-Raiders game, it was 14-9. The Raiders led the Bears.
Bears didn't look good.
Bears did not look good, okay. Now, who is the...
Aditya Kinkbowale.
Yeah, see, I can't. That's why I can't say
Aditi,
it.
Aditi, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to say it because I don't know how to say it. So I'm not gonna disrespect her because I'm always very respectful to women, especially women. But I'm respectful to everybody.
Are you, though?
Yeah. Very respectful. And so I don't want to mess up her name. Okay. Waikiki, whatever it is.
Well, she's waiting for you to get to the story.
Okay, so... So she's interviewing. Ben Johnson comes out at halftime. She's standing there, and here is the exchange, and let me know what you think.
Your offense has struggled to take advantage of those takeaways.
Yep.
Okay, so what did you tell them to get things going?
That it wasn't our brand of football. We're capable of a lot more, and so we're hitting the reset button here at halftime, and we're going to come back and establish our identity here in the second half.
So you need to change what you're doing.
I don't know. You think so? We're going to be just fine.
All right, Ben Johnson, all business.
So, Ben Johnson, all business. That was not great.
No, so what? So if you just read what she said, you need to change what you're doing. But it was, she was reiterating what he said. She was like, so you need to change what you're doing.
It almost sounded like an order.
Which is what he even said, I perceived it that way. And I was wrong. I shouldn't have. Let's hear what he had to say.
Yeah. Yesterday, you know, the coaches meet the media after they watch the film, and Ben Johnson, here's what he had to say about that.
And, you know, if you care to address this, I know there's been some buzz about your halftime exchange. Can you relay how you interpreted that conversation?
Yeah, you know, I honestly didn't think too much of it. I'm kind of in game mode. But then when I look back at it, you know, I am a little bit disappointed with what that looks like. You know, I didn't hear very well, and that's not an excuse. But when I thought I heard that, it was not a question, but that I needed to make some changes, I didn't take that very well. So I'll do a better job with those going forward.
You know, he laid on the sword. She wasn't great. She wasn't great. That wasn't good.
She wasn't good.
She was telling him you need to make changes.
You think she was?
Yeah, I get it. I understand that.
She even said
it wasn't posed as a question though.
It was cut up a little bit there. She rephrases what he says and says it back to him.
Well, but it's all but as a head coach with a sideline, I've been a sideline reporter. She did a poor job. She did a poor job. You don't, especially in the heat of the battle with a coach whose team isn't playing well, her phrasing was terrible. It was bad. You need to do a better job? Yeah, okay, that's a question. You need to do a better job is not a question. And it sounds like it's a little condescending, and it's not great for a coach who's in the middle of a battle.
Poor babies with the coaches. They can't treat the coaches with kid gloves. Meanwhile, when they're screaming at a player after they screw up, hey, just stand there and take it because you got to take hard coaching, right?
Meanwhile, Ben Johnson put 80 hours into this game this week.
Yeah, I'm sure she didn't work hard either.
But she didn't put 80 hours in.
I don't know how hard she
didn't. She didn't. He mischaracterized what she said. It was not intentional what she said.
What she said is what she said, regardless. She phrased it poorly.
She said she phrased it poorly. You need to make changes in the second half.
You need to make changes in the second half. Yes. That's not something that a sideline reporter should be telling a coach in the middle of a game.
He said it, and she says it back to him.
That's what she was doing, though. She paraphrased.
She paraphrased it and said it back to him instead of him saying, yeah, and we will do that. Instead of doing that, he did his thing. It was a misunderstanding. I don't think it deserves a whole lot, but it was a misunderstanding. But now there's video think pieces on what an a-hole he is or how she clearly should not be on a sideline.
Yeah.
Like I saw one video that what a joke that, that you have women on the sideline or they're this bad. And I'm like, that's – I know Aditya a little bit.
I worked with her for a little bit at NFL Network.
That's out of line.
No, that's out of line. No, there are people saying that, I'm certainly not saying that, John.
Yeah.
I am saying she did a poor job. I'm saying she did a poor job. That's not something that you say to a coach on the sideline as he's trying – actually, you know, coaches hate this. They ain't got time for this. They don't want to be there. That's what the money's for. Well, okay, great.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yes, it is.
No, it's actually not. I'm in the middle of a game.
That's why you get paid what you get paid. You're representative of the players.
Del, this is a relatively new thing.
How new is this?
Coaches had not been interviewed at halftime for 90 years of football.
But all of a sudden it is.
Since Ben Johnson's been a coach. They're in the middle of games. Yeah. And you know what? You do have to. It's a difficult job. But she didn't do a good job. I'm sorry.
And he didn't.
Well,
neither one of them did. He even said he didn't do a good job.
Yeah, he said it out of his own mouth. You know what? He laid on the sword.
Well, I mean, I think when he looks back at it, he knows that a coach's response also has an impact on the people asking the questions too, because it can make you look like it can be demeaning to Johnny Harris was demeaned by Bill O'Brien multiple times.
Yeah,
I mean, it's out of sometimes coaches have a responsibility too. I just think it was a misunderstanding, and you could say that the way she phrased it, I thought you were right. Her phrasing came off in such a way that was confusing to him if that was her interpretation, and then the way he handled it. But I didn't think it's too, like, he was pissy. Okay.
Yeah.
To me, I'm like, all right, well, you know, that's just the way it is. He answered. It shouldn't even last beyond Tuesday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we can talk about it, obviously, but I hope it doesn't have any impact on her, and it certainly shouldn't have any impact on him. He's the first salty coach you've ever seen. How about every interview ever with Popovich? Exactly.
Oh, by the way.
With Popovich.
I know. Does anyone know where Greg Popovich is?
Wildcat, probably.
I swear to God, I saw Greg Popovich. We've got a hill here that goes up. I think I saw Pop, and he was in a chair. He was actually in a motorized chair.
Oh, that might have been him.
It might have been him because
let me check his Insta.
Pardon me?
Let me check his Instagram account.
Yeah, see where he is.
I was joking, but actually he does have an Instagram account. It clearly can't. Yeah, it's not run by him. It's not going to be anything now where he's in a chair.
It's not. No, they're not going to show that.
No.
No, they're not going to put that out there. But I know it was him. I know. And I was like, oh, my God, Pop. If anybody knows where Pop is.
Is this his Twitter account? This last post is from 2015. It says, how do we lose to the damn Utah Jazz? They are complete ship with a P. Pacers suck ass. 1,000 wins, baby. Damn, it feels good. That can't be him, John.
I don't think
that's from 15.
You sure that's his account and not a parody?
There's only 42 followers. It says the official Twitter, though. Hmm. It says they wrote it up as the official. So it says official with 42 followers.
Hmm.
I don't know.
And he calls Utah shit?
I'll bet that was him.
You know what? He's salty like that.
Here's Tony says, now you've got a thing where you like to cheer for the man sometime. You cheer for the Diamond Clubs. You cheer for the house and gambling. And it says, do you think John Granato watched Blackfish that he was rooting for SeaWorld? Dale's laughing. He's seen it. Have you ever seen that doc, John?
No.
SeaWorld, where they have the black whale. The whale ends up killing somebody or whatever.
No, the whales are treated terribly.
Well, and he ends up flipping.
Well, you treated him poorly at some point.
And he said, did John cheer root for SeaWorld?
Tilly? Wasn't that the same whale's name?
Yeah, and she and he attacked her, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, I actually was, I don't know.
Tilikum, that was the whale's name.
Tilikum.
Tilikum was the whale.
That was the name?
Yeah, of the orca. Apparently orcas don't attack humans in the wild.
Even though when I was a little kid, there was a movie called Orca that was about Orca, the killer whale. And I
killer orcas.
I was terrified of orca.
Yes.
Orca well, they kill other animals, but they don't attack humans in the
wild. Yeah, they did in this movie.
Well, you pissed them
and
off.
And you were just talking about a movie where they kill.
Well, it wasn't in the wild. You
Have
pissed
you guys
off.
Ever gone and seen the whales up close? I mean, they'll yeah, go. They'll go right next to. They were right next to the boat, and they're. I mean, they are. They could crush you with the with. I mean, one fin, boom, you're done forever. But they'll swim up right next to you. So yeah, I'm pro that. See, Tony's wrong. I am pro whale here. Mm. Okay,
you're a big whale guy.
I'm a whale guy. I've been a whale guy.
Okay,
I've always been a whale guy.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not on
SeaWorld side, Tony.
Tony, yeah, you misinterpreted that totally. Okay, I've never been. I'm pro casino, but I don't want to see them close.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to. How many have closed worried? Because yeah. they lost
what
money?
What are you worried about with casinos? But,
I'm just worried when
that's like being worried about. I hope this professional sports owner ends up making money when they sell.
Well, we know he's worried about Jim Crane's money.
Which owner has ever lost money when they sell an organization? Man. Other than maybe a WNBA owner.
Take a loss.
Know.
And now they're not
baseball, basketball, football, it's impossible to take a loss.
But John's worried.
I'm worried.
Hopefully when Tillman, you know, gets more into being an ambassador, maybe a bigger political career like Paul Feinbaum is apparently striving towards.
How about that?
He doesn't lose money on the Rockets.
Hopefully, Feinbaum's going to run for Senate
in Alabama.
Hopefully
Tillman doesn't take a loss.
Yeah. How about that?
Speaking of
and don't think Stephen A., you see his political stuff he's doing now?
He's 100% going to try to get into politics.
He's going to try to run for president.
He's trying to be a centrist, but he will eventually slide to one side depending on what he thinks will make it better.
Oh, no, no. He's going to read the room and make decisions just like, you know, Trump will slide around basing on, you know, pulling into most people. Stephen A. is going to slide around like, oh, let me get a little of this. Yeah.
Who's
Let me get a little
him?
Of this. Stephen A. Smith, who yells at us on TV, is going to run for some political
I was watching party. That show yesterday after our show. It's impossible to watch. It is.
Well, you know, he's got – there's a lot
– He and Cam Newton? Oh, my
God.
Oh,
Cam is – sometimes Cam is terrible.
I like Cam on his
sometime
own
Sometimes Cam is actually okay. On his own stuff, he's actually not bad.
I like him with his own.
He's actually surprisingly level-headed on his own stuff.
Yeah, but you know who what he put? A.D. Mitchell's fumble – His whole thing was, well, he had an arm sleeve. Don't wear any cloth while you're carrying the ball. That wasn't it. He was transferring it to hot dog it before he got into the end zone. It had nothing to do with the
This
with
is
the
why
arm
we measure hands. This is why we met. You know what his hand size is? 6.5
All right, that's
inches.
Your non-player perspective, John. It's your non-player perspective.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, wow. Dell just called you non-player.
I said
talking
John.
To you.
I said that's your non-player not, perspective.
Cam told
John.
You what it was. Now you're coming with a non-player perspective.
Yeah, you never
it's funny hearing Lance sports side guys Lance talk
is,
about cloth.
Lance is talking about his hand size again. Yeah.
Who drops a football with a glove on? With gloves on?
Yeah. Tiny hands.
Who?
Well, Tiny Hands made a one-handed catch on that one.
It was a great play. Until
it was a great play.
End, except screwed it all up.
You know. Ballard goes to those games, and he's notorious for losing his crap in press boxes. Like, he has to literally, you know, calm down. He always says, I just can't. And I said, what was your response when A.D. Mitchell fumbled, and then he had the holding penalty? And he wasn't happy with it. He wasn't pleased with it. He didn't sit there quietly.
No.
But he calms down at the end. But it's got to be – I would probably be the same way where I'd slam something down or drop an F-bomb. Like, how could you – if your livelihood – I just know if you're a gambler and you watch that, you know, you didn't get a cover. And that guy was responsible for two touchdowns.
And that guy's responsible for Ballard making millions of dollars.
Yeah, he drafted that guy. Yeah. That was a chance to go get a win on the road and start 4-0. And A.D. Mitchell had two monumental mistakes. Huge. And one of them, okay, some holdings happened. That, falling out of his hand stuff should never happen.
No. David says, here's Ben at halftime with the reporter. I don't take no orders from no women.
Do you have that audio?
I don't take no orders from no women.
You gotta find that again. It's not hard to find.
Yeah, that's Ben Johnson.
I mean, what? What'd you say? What did you say?
All right, time to talk a little underdog football.
By the way. I don't take no orders from no woman, by the way.
It's still there.
All right, Underdog is still there, too.
Yeah, Underdog is still there, and Underdog's got great opportunities for you. Great opportunities for you. I'll just give you an example with Underdog Fantasy. With Underdog Fantasy, it's never been easier to make money in a variety of different ways, and that's one of the things I like. Like, my new thing that I like to do is try streaks, right? So you want to pick your first two, higher or lower. You got the statistics. I've told you about this. You got statistics for any number of players, any number of statistics, and then you go higher or lower, and you want to win. You have to win those next two, or the two that you have. But then it goes, okay, now to the next one. It's like Card Sharks when you're watching, you know, games, when you're watching those TV game shows. You go to the next one, and then you go to the next one, and your payout builds, right? Your multipliers build. And at any point, you could say, freeze it. You could stop right there and take your winnings, or you press your luck and go forward for another one. And you could go all the way to 11. If you get to 11, it's a massive payout. And you can do that for as little as $5. Here's something else. When you download the app, and that's Underdog Fantasy, and you use promo code Lance, they are going to, you use Lance when you make your first deposit. When you make your first $5 play, you're going to get $100 in bonus cash when you make your first $5 play. Well, that streaks could be your first $5 play. So whether or not you want to play it just straight and you go higher or lower picks, maybe you put four of them out there and you try to win all four and hit it big. You want to go five, you want to go six and try to win really, really big. That's great. Maybe you want to play streaks, which is out there as well. Gives you a chance. You decide when to cash out and take your money. It's all available through Underdog Fantasy. You're watching the games, play along with the games, Underdog Fantasy. You had two games last night, and you could have been playing Underdog Fantasy and making real money right here legally in the state of Texas. Underdog Fantasy, promo code Lance.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Consult with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'm looking at this Jeffrey Simmons. It's an abomination of offensive line play. Everybody went left except Ed Ingram. Jeffrey Simmons is lined up just off of Andrew's right shoulder. Mm-hmm. Andrews goes left.
It's a play action.
There's no. How do you know it was play action? He tackled him before CJ even got a yard.
Well, because I got to look at it, but I'm pretty sure I saw guys stand up instead of drive off. But regardless, right. Ed it never Ingram even had a goes, chance to develop.
I mean, he's right in between the two of them. Andrews goes left. Ingram goes right.
Did they count it as a sack?
Ariante crashes into Ingram. Ingram obviously did not know they were. He thought right when everybody else went.
Wait. No. Ingram's right guard.
Yes.
Tay is left tackle.
Howard. Howard crashed into him.
Yeah. Right.
Howard crashed into him. Yeah. Howard crashes right into him. The two of them collide, and Jeffrey Simmons jumps on CJ 1 yard in the backfield.
That's on Ed.
It's Ed. It's and yet he graded out. He's great.
Well, it's one play.
No, it's one play.
It's one play. That's why. But offensive line gets
that
screwed
was the
for
worst
life.
Looking play.
Chris Myers. What's the play that you think of with Chris Myers?
I don't think of a play with Chris Myers.
Okay, not the Casey Hampton pushing him all the way.
Pushing him right backwards. Yeah.
He had to live with that. That guy made like a Pro Bowl. Chris Myers actually ended up being a really good center for the Houston Texans. Yeah. Yeah. And that's like a play that everyone remembers. Offensive line, you can have 35 good blocks, two bad ones, and you're remembered as being trash.
Yeah.
And you're going against guys who are typically more athletically gifted than you. Because if you have two guys of the same level of talent, early on they put you on defense.
What did you make of, okay, we talked about the Woody Marks. Woody Marks is getting more snaps. He didn't start, but he's getting more snaps. Now EJ Speed saw more playing time on defense than he has seen in the past.
That's right.
Is EJ Speed, is he going to get?
Yeah.
We got D'Amico talking about EJ too. EJ, I just don't get it. I just don't get why he's not on the field. First of all, right? I don't understand that.
Because you want him to replace an Alabama linebacker?
That's a problem. That's a problem. But EJ Speed played 56% of the snaps. Toa Toa played 48%. Is that going to continue? Christian Harris played 8%.
Christian Harris is not a very instinctive player.
Actually, that was probably just special teams.
No, because they separate those. Team snaps are different. So I saw him in the game. So Christian Harris, the thing on him is he can run and hit. He's not real great with run fits and read. Like, he'll make mistakes. So D'Amico was a linebacker, and I feel like he...
No, this is not separated. They got Kaimi on here. They got Brian on here. They got Ross. They've got...
And all of the snaps?
It's all. And I think...
Okay,
PFF has it separated. I don't remember seeing Christian Harris, if you want to know the truth.
Okay,
then
maybe
he... Plays.
Yeah, maybe he wasn't. Maybe that's total snaps. Yeah, PFF separates them between your defensive and your other. So you're probably just looking at regular snap count at the end of the game.
Regular snap count.
Okay.
And, oh, by the way, another one. EJ Speed and Togiai.
Yep.
That dude was making plays. That dude was consistent. He was the most consistent player, according to D'Amico, this preseason. And nothing for the first few. Now he played, and dude played. He was in some plays on Sunday.
Yeah, he's been kind of disruptive.
Yeah.
But to me, EJ Speed is. So D'Amico. He played the position, and I think he's going to be partial to certain kinds of players. I think anybody who played a position, who's a coach, I think they are partial to certain guys that maybe remind them of them or whatever the case may be. And Toa Toa is a smart player, a hard worker, a little limited from a speed standpoint. Aziz Alshire is a dog. He's physical. He's aggressive. He's a tone setter, all that stuff. And I think D'Amico loves that, but at some point, you got to be fast. At some point, you got to have somebody who is disruptive as a linebacker.
Al-Shair almost had a penalty that would have cost them. He definitely hit Cam Ward in the head. He definitely, do you remember the play?
Cam
is scrambling,
yeah,
he's near
Simmons,
the sideline.
Of all people, is standing there pointing, going, what are you doing? Throw the flag.
The,
yeah, he
the
hit,
whole bench
yeah, he hit him
it,
in the head,
exploded.
Yeah.
I mean, it was right in front of the Titans bench.
I don't know how you missed that.
And he hit him in the head. And I don't know how the refs missed it. Because they're so, hey, Cam Ward's a rookie. Oh, well, take it, Rook. Yeah, just take it.
Well, Aziz got away with one.
Why is Tariq Hill smiling as he goes off the field in a cart? I'm
apparently
looking
that's
at this.
His personality.
I'm like, it's almost like he's like, good, I don't have to play anymore.
Well, that was it. Somebody said, yeah, he's just thrilled he doesn't have to deal with Tua anymore.
Well, yeah, he's thrilled. What, didn't he have the two best seasons of his career playing with Tua? But apparently, according to...
There he is, the great Tua protector.
Well, Tua whisperer.
I'm just telling you, he did. That's all I'm saying. The numbers will tell you his best numbers.
Tell Orlovsky.
Did I say Tua was greater, or did I just give you facts?
I don't see the mistakes Tua is making.
I don't see it.
I don't see on tape where people get after Tua.
You're crying at your kitchen table?
I don't
Or
cry.
Make us cry at our kitchen table.
I don't know what you think I am, but I am not emotionally affected or tied to players like that. If they wear the uniform, cool. If they don't, I don't care. I'm not
you're
like
anti-Justin Herbert because it's directly tied to Tua.
I'm anti-
I know about that Miami Dolphin fan fight
no,
stuff that was going
Justin
on.
No, I'm anti-Justin Herbert because I never believe he was as good as people think he is.
Okay, Del Clark.
College. That's
now
back
are you
going to
gonna,
now he's Del
now,
Clark.
When are you going to start apologizing for Drake May?
I won't, because what, he's 2-2. Congratulations. His two best games against two of the worst teams in football.
Many people are saying he's the top up and coming young quarterback.
No, they're not.
Well, Dream Shake said it earlier.
Top quarterback.
And he said there's a good chance that New England is going to beat Buffalo. So what do you think of that, Joe? Sure. What a nightmare for you.
On the road in New England, sure. On a short week, on a road in Buffalo on a short week, is that when that game was played? Or is it Monday night?
That's what he said people were talking about.
Tyreek apparently was rooting on his teammates, and they went on the win, whatever. I guess that's the gist of it. Apparently that's his personality, to try to keep people up, at least his teammates up. That's why he was smiling.
If he's up, then he's stuck.
He was smiling because he didn't have to catch two of balls anymore.
Well, maybe Stephon Diggs was thrilled to be New England, because he didn't have to catch C-dish balls anymore. See how stupid that sounds? See, you sound just as dumb.
Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to catch D's.
Ooh, wow. D's. Wow. I didn't know that was coming.
Talking about catching Tua.
Yeah, you know, ligament damage or catching passes from Tua. I don't know which one wins. I don't know one.
Well, the paycheck still cashes.
Yeah, you get the money.
Ligament.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yep.
By the way, did you guys see how many kids does Philip Rivers have?
Enough. 40? Too many, maybe?
He has 10, right? I think he's
9
at 10.
Or 10?
I think he's at 10. I had no idea an NFL player has him beat. And this NFL player is not like, you know, by 7 women, or it's not one of these Antonio Cromartie situations. It's the same wife. 14.
Who?
Shaun Alexander.
Wow.
I somehow ran into this picture, and they just got pregnant with another one. And he's like got a big family picture, and he's got, this is going to be his 14th kid. What, that terrifies. It just makes me scared.
Well, he's got money.
I know, but even with money, you still have to deal with all those kids.
Yeah,
we're talking about all the money in the world. You still, you know, what does money do when somebody's screwing up in high school?
I'm gonna bet you that there is an Alexander pro or two in there.
Ooh, well, I haven't seen the wife.
Yeah.
Let me see, Shaun Alexander. Odds are one of them, at least one of them's going to college on a scholarship.
Yes.
Minimum one.
Oh,
and there's probably
kidding?
A volleyball player, you know, a softball player. Right. There's going to be a football player. You're not stepping out. I mean, you're 100% right on that one.
Yeah. Yep. All right. When we come back, Rockets first.
$10 and 3 sons.
$10.
That's a high number of daughters.
Man, he's messing that up.
That's a high number of daughters.
Got to change positions. 713-780-3776. We've got Rocket Sound on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we got John Daspit.
Yeah, John Daspit is the personal injury lawyer here in Houston. But I have to tell you, it's he does a lot more. So a lot of the big cases he handles are going to be off the coast, for example. You have oil field accidents and explosions. You have industrial accidents, catastrophic injuries, plant and refinery accidents. When I first met John, he was in the middle of doing a refinery blast, and he had multiple clients here that he was taking care of, and he had a lot of different interviews to do. He had a lot of different uncovering of facts. There was just a lot to do, because when you have those big accidents, there's going to be a lot of medical bills. There's going to be discovery in terms of how much time you're going to miss from work. For some people, the physical pain does not subside, and you're not going to be able to do a physical job anymore. So John Daspit has to find all of this out, make sure all of the medical bills are completed and correct, and then make sure that all of that is accounted for and that you get a pain and suffering settlement that is going to be fair for you. He doesn't care about the insurance company, because the insurance company, trust me, they don't care about you. They just want to get this off the books and on to the next one and get you for as low as possible. And John Daspit says, we're not doing that. I'm going to fight for my clients and make sure that they get a fair settlement. And that's what he does. And he gets big wins on a regular basis. 713, call now. Go to practice areas on his website at Daspit Law and find out all the areas that he works in to help you when someone else's negligence has cost you. 713, call now, or DaspitLaw.com.
HRP is what I'm talking about right now. I like my peeps over there. I do. We know them. We have relationships with them. They are really, really good people, really people who really care about your business. They have a vested stake in what you do and how well you do it. They don't win unless you win. It's important to them that you get the best service that they have. You get it at a price that's more affordable than you doing it yourself or other admin companies. And you know, the other admin companies go, well, look at the price, look at their price for the payroll, and look at our price. You know what the dirty little secret is? The admin companies, they'll charge less for the payroll. And you look over here, when in fact they're charging you extraordinary, exorbitant amounts for your 401k, your insurance plans, and it's just not for you. Okay? They don't care. They're going to give you their plans as opposed to HRMP that is helping you pick the right plan for your business. And in the long run, you save on all of it. So I'm telling you, there is a difference. Love HRMP. You'll love HRMP. All the people there I'm telling you, fantastic. And you'll love doing business. They'll love it. It's not you're doing business with them. You're all doing business together. HRP.net, 281-880-6525, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media, at ESPN97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. So the Rockets met the media yesterday. And we would be remiss if we didn't start with Kevin Durant. Because Kevin Durant is the story of the offseason. Kevin Durant is a Houston Rocket and gives the Rockets a chance. Despite what happened to Fred VanVleet, Kevin Durant gives you a chance to win a championship. The Rockets' odds went down like 4 points when Fred VanVleet went down. First, is Kevin Durant here short-term or is he going to be long-term? Kevin Durant, he says he felt comfortable being in that gym with those guys, and he sees himself a long-term contract, I don't know. But a contract extension, Lance?
Mm-hmm.
I'm for Kevin Durant signing, being here for 3 years.
Ooh, I'm sure he'd love to get paid for three.
I'm for...
Three at 60 apiece?
I'm going to bet that that's going to be the deal.
Three at 60 apiece?
No, I think he'll take less. Don't think it'll be 180.
Why not?
Because I think that he wants to win. I don't think it'll be 180. I think it'll be more in 150.
Ooh, I don't think he's going to give away.
Well,
I don't think he's going to give away $10 million a year. That's a lot. Most guys who sacrifice are not. They're only sacrificing like $3 or $4 million max.
Okay, if it's going to be 60, I think it'll be a 2 year. He'll be here for 2 years.
Yeah, it has to line up with. It has to line up with when you pay Amen Thompson. That's the problem. Is Amen's going to get a max deal? And I don't, you know, that's the reality is Amen's going to be making more than, at least for a little bit, he's going to be making more than Alpi.
I don't know that that'll be the case either. I think that they
you don't think
do
he'll be a max deal player
like they did with Alpi and with Jalen. And they might get, you never know, might get a nice price for him.
If I'm his agent, I would say we're waiting.
Here's Kevin Durant talking about signing a contract extension.
What made you want to come play for this team, and do you see yourself signing a contract extension with the Rockets?
I do see myself signing a contract extension. I can't tell you exactly when that'll happen, but I do see it happening.
All right.
So now, he is eligible for a 2-year contract extension.
Yeah. So that'll be 3 total years.
Yeah. For this year, he's making 55.
Yeah. I think it's going to be I think it'll be another 110 or so. Yeah, I do. Here he is talking about why he's here, why this team, why he said yes, I will go to the Houston Rockets.
I have some connections here within the organization, people I work with around the league already, you know. So I just felt organic and natural coming into the gym, getting to be a Houston Rocket for the first time. So, I always have respect for this coaching staff, this fan base, this this state, this city. So it feels right.
Feels right. It feels right here.
A lot of older players come here to retire.
Yeah.
As Rockets. We've seen it. We've seen a long list. Eddie Johnson, Charles Barkley, Clyde Drexler, Elvin Hayes. No, Scotty got moved.
Well, he got moved, but he came here to do that.
Well, I don't know. He still played a while. He only stayed here. Did he stay here for a whole year? Not even a full year.
He was in the playoffs. He screwed up, remember?
Yeah, that's right. He got moved right after that. Yeah. You got a lot of guys who have finished here with the Rockets, and I think KD's going to be the next one. I think he'll get a 2-year extension. I think he'll be done. How much you get, it really doesn't matter. As long as you can fit him under the cap, 2 more years, you should be fine. I mean, yeah. I'd like it when you look at Fred VanVleet is going to be paid, and it's going to count 100% against your cap. You don't get cap relief for that injury. It'd be nice. It won't have any impact on this year, but it'd be nice if, moving forward, Kevin gives you a little bit of breathing room, even if it's $4 million a year, just enough to have a mid-level available or, bring this guy in, that guy in. It'd be nice when you know that he'll never even spend this money that he's going to make. But players don't look at it that way. They look at it as, it's a sign of respect to get paid a certain number, as opposed to other players of your caliber getting paid a number. That's what it typically boils down to. But if you really – I am a little bit surprised. The money is so unbelievably high now that you could make decisions based on winning championships. And a few guys do. A few guys will. If you think about Kevin Durant, if he really wanted to do something, what if Kevin Durant said, you know what, I'll take $42 million a year. I'll take $42 million. I'm shaving $13 million off of what my cap figure was last year, and I want to give us the best chance to put the best roster together. It's not my money, but what a difference that would potentially make.
Just do a Kawhi deal. He can be a manager for Tillman's Restaurants.
Or just do some kind of no-show yard work or something. Yeah. For obviously $26 million.
Well, but Tillman's got a built-in. I mean, he can just manage one
of
the
true. Masters. What about Kevin Durant as a pit boss?
Yeah. Oh, how about that?
Hey.
You don't think he'd scare somebody?
Changing 300. And he's Kevin Durant has to come over while they put the $300 bills out on the table. And then they take it and they stack them up three. And then they get the red chips. How many greens, sir? And then, give me greens and reds. And Kevin Durant will say, okay, sir, do you have your player's card? No, Mr. Durant. Okay, good luck to you. And, wow, Kevin Durant just had to check 300. Then when you leave the table, change it, change going out. Kevin Durant has to come over
he just looks over and says, yeah, okay.
You're good. Yeah, that's the best kind of pit boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good.
Yep.
Kevin Durant is a pit. What about Kevin Durant as a manager at a restaurant, one of his restaurants,
Mastro's.
But a good one, yeah. Mastro's, how was your steak today, guys?
Yeah. I wanted to see how your steak was. How was everything going? Yeah, yeah.
It was fine, Kevin.
Hey, Edgar, give him a couple of wines over here.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, I want a dessert sent to table 26. Tell him it's on Kevin.
Yeah, yeah.
Send him a chocolate molten lava cake.
He could be a good manager.
It's his birth. Yeah, he could be that. You're right. Tillman does have a lot of stuff built in. A
lot of stuff.
He could be a som. He might be able to be a sommelier, possibly.
Maybe.
Possibly. Do you have a red you would recommend, Kevin?
I think Popovich might be better.
But Kevin just has to say, yeah, this one. What can you tell me about it? It's really good.
Yeah.
And it's expensive, so it's got to be good.
What about a fry cook?
Yeah, see, I just don't see that. I don't see Kevin staying here if he has to be a fry cook.
What if you get paid $12 million a year to do it?
Even still, he's got so much money.
Like Kawhi showed up ever.
No, that's right. We got to remember. Yeah, but I don't want the Rockets to get in trouble. If Kevin's going to get paid for this, he's going to have to show up every once in a while.
They're getting in trouble if he's a sommelier, either way.
No, not if he does it out of season. Come in and, hey, Kevin, what else can he do at a casino? There's pit boss. He could work in that chocolate place at Lake Charles where, you get those, they have the chocolate, you walk by that little dessert place over there. that they have where they have the candies and all that on the way over to the tower. He could work in there at Lake Charles.
A confectionery? Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Kevin could do that or in the Claim Jumpers.
Scoop ice cream?
Yeah. What's so hard about that? Kept for $12 million a year?
Yeah, at least.
I'll do it for $1 million a year.
Well, $12 million.
Well, on top of his salary.
Why do you think you would only get him for $12 million?
No. That's on top.
I know what you're saying. Why do you think he would limit it to $12 million? Kawhi got $49
million. Yeah, but that raises too many alarms.
You just talked about
that. That raises too many alarms.
You just talked about how.
No one's going to think $12 million doing ice cream.
Sure.
That's
fine. Yeah,
you just talked about how guys.
No one's going to think anything.
Can grab the money because it's commiserate with other guys of their caliber.
Yeah.
If he sees Kawhi getting $49
Kawhi's
for
going
jobs,
to prison.
No, he's not. He's not.
There's a chance, Del.
He's not
he
going
could
to
end
prison.
Up. We don't know yet. He's there's a chance he could do time, hard time.
He's not doing hard time.
Well, I'm predicting he goes. I would put him in prison.
Yeah, Kawhi I bet you would.
Kawhi met the media yesterday.
I would also put Luka in prison.
Said he doesn't agree with the assertion that he didn't work for Aspiration at all.
I'm sure, but he doesn't.
He said, and then they said, did they pay you everything? No, they didn't pay me everything.
Well, no, yeah, he's listed as one of the. Creditors.
They owe money. So if you think you're going to get Kevin Durant to work at Claim Jumpers for less than what Kawhi's getting for Aspiration.
When you say it out loud, it doesn't sound reasonable.
Yeah.
What about out at the pool? What about doing pool boy stuff?
I don't care what the job is. He's not getting less than Kawhi.
Listen, there are no general managers at these steakhouses that's named Kevin.
No. Okay?
So he's got to, first of all, he's going to have to change his name.
And there are no general managers who are 6'11 or 7 feet tall
either.
What about working in a card room? What about just dealing?
What
dealing.
About
dealing
why,
cards?
Why can't he just be a guy working the amusements at Pleasure Pier?
It's too hot outside.
Oh, he's a car. You want him to be a car. That's the car.
Look, when he has to work, he has to work during the summer in this heat. In this oppressive heat, I'm not putting Kevin Durant out in the heat.
He works the Ferris. He works that giant Ferris wheel.
Okay, you know what? The aquarium. Ah, boom.
For $49 million.
Yeah, and he doesn't even have to go to Lake Charles. He just stays here and just goes to the aquarium. I'm not giving $49. It's going to raise. It's going to be a red flag. It's going to be a red flag.
He's not taking less than what Kawhi got.
It'll be $40 million over 3 years.
Yeah, I'm not saying giving it to him in the bulk.
Look, we're giving him $42 for a base.
Plus,
and then we're kicking in $19. He gets to $61 million.
See, the problem is Kawhi took that $49 because apparently it made up the difference from what he would make in Toronto.
Exactly.
So, Kevin. You do have that advantage. He would actually make more here with the Rockets, no matter what the extension is.
Bird rights.
But he is going to ask for at least three quarters of what Kawhi got.
I think we've got something figured out here. John's right. We've got so many different ways we can funnel money to KD here that they'll never catch us. But he's going to have to probably show up and get some just pictures on Instagram like, hey, look at me working my new job scooping ice cream.
He becomes an ambassador for Tillman's businesses. He shows up at Cougars events.
Yep.
It's not hot. It's an air conditioning. He can be like a guy.
Basketball event.
Yeah, basketball. Yeah. He's sitting courtside where Kelvin Sampson's getting it going.
Ambassador.
Yeah. Just show up, wear a Cougar red coat.
But also, I'm going to need you to deal cards at some point.
No, he's not going to. It's not inconspicuous.
I'm going to need you to sell us some wine or to go see table 12.
You can't have a 7-foot dealer.
Yeah, that's true. But he can
go out there
in a suit.
Listen,
and go give somebody some.
He can hand you your card across the way.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, little dealers, you're always pushing your chips closer to them. Kevin Durant, he can come and take it out of your stack.
Or what about being a stick man at the craps table?
He can reach all the way over
to pay you off easily, and like you don't have to reach way over. Yeah. He's doing
I'm
it so
telling
easy.
You, people are going to be.
Not the stick man, one of the ones who just
it's
does
gonna
this
be
all
disconcerting
time.
To have someone that tall.
What about a pie gal dealer?
It's weird. People won't be able to pay attention to the cards.
Drinks. Right. You're sitting there slots like Kevin Durant's asking if I want drinks?
Well, Kevin Durant with a are you kidding me? He could reach over the blackjacks, over
easy.
Oh, so easy. It's so easy.
Tillman's lucky to have Kevin Durant because he really could be an ambassador to
so
many different restaurants.
Right.
But I think wearing a nice suit and sending desserts out to table 12 and just going, guys, it's me, Kevin Durant, starting small forward with the Houston Rockets. Just wanted to see if everything's going good with dinner.
Yeah, right.
And then you put him in the Bugatti, you take a picture with him out there.
How are your Range Rattlers this evening?
Well, I mean, that's if he ends up at – well, Raincraft, I don't think he's going to – I don't think that's the
Saltgrass.
Brand. I don't think Saltgrass is the brand.
He's not
– I don't think he's doing Range Rattlers.
I sound ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah it does now.
Apologies.
No, you took it too far.
Okay. Yeah, we were having fun until you screwed the whole thing
when
up.
When I brought some reality.
Well, you want some Range Rattlers or maybe some of this bread with honey
that's
butter?
That's stupid to say Kevin Durant is going to work at Saltgrass.
He's going
to
be at Mastro's.
He's going to be here during the fall so that – that salted caramel cheesecake that they have.
I can't tell you, Reed Shepard may have to put some time out over at the Saltgrass.
Can he push the dessert cart?
Yeah. We're so far behind now because of this.
But Reed Shepard better play better. All of a sudden, he's going to be trying to upsell you cheesecake at the end of your meal.
Hey, I want to tell you, we got to play Tari Eason. He's like, hey, screw this. I need more PT. Okay, Tari.
Yeah.
I got to, you know who needs you need? Is Robin over at Houston Powder Coaters. That's what you need. You need Robin to fix whatever metal that you have. What metal do you have that isn't looking, it's looking pretty shabby? Do you have something old that's rusting out that you're like, I really love this thing. I want it to look new again. Like those old Frigidaires, you know, that those are really, really cool. You could have those in your game room. I hate the man cave thing. That's so stupid. And where you watch your TV, you got one of those old Frigidaires. That is so cool. Or old, if you've got neon lights and the metal is rusting out, Houston Powder Coaters can make it look new again. It, you know, a Schlitz or old Milwaukee neon light. Are you kidding me? How awesome is that? Well, Houston Powder Coaters can make it look cool. Wheel wells, bumpers, whatever it is that you've got that you need to look at your patio furniture, obvious. They'll pick up, they'll deliver absolutely free. If you can hear us, they'll go to you. If you're looking for the best way to powder coat whatever metal that you have, you got to have it. Houston Powder Coaters is here for you. If you want it done before Christmas, better hurry, okay, because it takes a little while. Do it now. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell Robin you heard it right here. HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I don't think Kevin Durant would be the person who stands at the entrance checking IDs and clicking the people that come.
That is easy.
He can deal you cards, but he can't do that.
No, because he's just standing there.
So what?
His back will start hurting. We don't need that.
Put him in a chair.
No, you can't sit in the chair and do that.
Why not?
Well, Kevin can because he can.
Yeah. What's he? Why can't those people sit in the chair?
No, they can't. They don't.
Why? Because they'll fall asleep.
You ever see him sit in the chair?
But I just asked you why. What's the purpose of standing up?
Because it's a service industry.
Mm-hmm. We're servicing people, right? Well, you might be servicing people right now. We're all sitting in chairs.
I'm not servicing.
We're providing
anyone
a service
right
to the people.
Servicing people.
I'm not servicing anyone. Right
I don't know.
Now.
I don't know what happens when you're off screen. But either way, you can sit down and click the counter, the clicker. Hey, no. That's your number two who walked in. You don't have to stand up for that.
Hey, I saw a lot of Bruce Bochy got fired.
Three, the Twins, Rangers, and Giants all got rid of their managers.
Yeah. A lot of people were like, get Bochy now. Get Bochy.
How long does it go until we say, okay, the Astros aren't making any moves? You think, I mean, we have, theoretically, there's a lot of time for Jim Crane if he's going to make moves to make his moves. It doesn't have to happen right after the season. Unless you're firing manager, it typically does happen within the last 3 to 4 days.
Well,
Espada goes, I would think it would be, I mean, unless there's conversations going on with an agent for another manager, because you want to make sure you have that manager before you get rid of. I don't think Espada goes. I think he stays.
I do too.
And I think too. Dana Brown stays too. Although, is he up?
Is Espada up?
No, Dana Brown.
Dana Brown? I don't know that.
Right. Is there I don't an know option that that matters. Dana Brown?
Does that matter to Crane? I don't know.
He had 2 years remaining. He's entering his third season. He has 2 years remaining as of June 24th. So he's got another year.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jim Crane doesn't. Oh, no, 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 no. I think he's got a team option on his.
Oh, it is a team option?
Yeah, I think so. And he and they did not. And they did the same thing with Reed Ryan. Just ignored him, ignored him, ignored him. Yeah, yeah, we'll get to it, we'll get to it. And then when the season ended, bye.
Well, but that was taken over by Tillman's son, right?
By Jim Crane's son.
I mean, I'm sorry, Jim Crane's son, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a little different.
Well, he actually they just, you know, he wanted an extension, and I don't think he didn't have a team option. He just had he kept talking to him.
I don't know. Are you sure there's a team option?
I think yes, I'm pretty sure there's a team option.
Okay.
I read somewhere where it was,
because both of these, everything I'm reading right now, Chandler Rome said, Astros general manager said, man, okay, that's him, but won't be fired with 2 years left on his contract. That happened June of 2024. Nightingale reported that Brown's job is safe with 2 years left on his current contract. There's no mention of him having.
Of I read somewhere that it was, and he had not heard from them about it. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I thought you brought that. I thought you said that yesterday, which is why I asked the question.
Yeah. GM Dana Brown said manager Joe Espada is under contract for next season. So Joe's got 1 year left. I thought Dana Brown, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not a team option. Maybe it's not. Either way, I mean, you can get rid of a guy if you don't want him and pay him another year. Oh, well.
Yeah, if you want to do that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Crane lets deals run out.
Yeah.
He's not typically a fire. I mean, other than that, you know, the egregious stuff that he had to deal with.
Other than, yeah, and Click, right?
Click. Yeah, Click stepped in. Yeah, I'm not sure what Click's contract stuff would be. I have to take a look. But Click didn't get fired.
No.
I think Click was already in a position with the organization.
There are a lot of people that don't want Joe back. I don't understand it, but so
you still think he's going to finish top three in AL Manager of the Year?
Chandler Rome did a piece on all the injuries and what it cost him. He said 12 games. The injuries
would have won 99 games.
If everybody
would have been the winningest team in Major League Baseball. Come on now.
12 games.
That's too
just
much.
According to the article, it's just a projection. But
yeah,
if these guys played well, like to their potential. But
everyone could make.
Yeah, everyone can say that. But the Astros were clearly hampered and should have been a much better team.
What was
if
it?
Those guys were available?
A 17.6 WAR they lost?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and listen, I thought Joe did a great job with what he had. 154 different lineups. 154.
But that's also kind of how he rolls, too.
Yeah.
He made a lot of changes with his outfielders on a regular basis. And he was trying to play Urias once you got him. He was trying to find places for Frenchie, Dubon. You know, there was a lot of moving, trying to find guys playing time and at bats because the lineup was so fluid. A lot of that was a Joe. You know, some of that was a Joe or Joe decision. I don't think he should be fired. I don't really see that he was incompetent. I don't see bad decision making. At the same time, I don't know. For me, I just feel like there's not going to be any adulation from voters for Manager of the Year just because they didn't even make the playoffs. And Joe was keeping it not only above, you know, keeping head above water. They were winning the division. They were up by 5 games with a lot of the same issues at play. And they end up, you know, going completely sideways. They held their own fate in their hands, and they didn't make the playoffs. That shows you how bad their baseball was the last 2 months.
Yeah. It was.
Fromber killed you. Can you imagine if Fromber just pulls his head out just twice? Just 2 games out of those, like, 11-game run. Just 2 more games. They're in the playoffs right now.
Did you see Fromber's splits? Holy crap.
You mean first half, second half?
Yeah,
yeah, it's atrocious.
Atrocious. Here's his splits. Let's see. I'm going to get to opponent. Say all splits. Where's first half, second half? But just trust me. It was atrocious, his first half and his second half. He cost, I don't know. I think somebody's stupid and they'll pay him, but, you know, big money. So it'll be difficult to see how much he actually lost because he's going to get paid. But, you know, he's what, 32?
Mm-hmm. Is he 32 or he's going to be 32? Right now he is 31 and 315 days. So, yeah, he'll be 32 and he'll be 32 in a month.
Well.
No, yeah. And I'm sorry, in 2 months. In two months.
He'll be 32.
He'll be 32. He'll be a relatively ripe 32.
Yeah. And he started late, though. So
hasn't had issues with getting, you know, hasn't had issues with injuries. Has been a horse. Certainly benefits him. You look at him, he doesn't, I don't know what spin rate looks like on him, but he's able to get good movement on his pitches without throwing it as hard as he can. So I don't know that you look at him as somebody who's going to have a lot of issues. Home and away, Fromber was much better away.
So first half, 10-4, 2.75 ERA. Second half, 3-7 with a 5.20.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I mean, awful.
He only pitched more hits than innings pitched in the second half of the season.
Yep. He only pitched 71 innings in the second half after 121 in the first.
His strikeouts.
The first half is longer, but.
His strikeouts to walk were about 3-1 in the first half. The second half of the season, they were just a little bit better than 2-1. The whip went from 1.12 to 1.45. Strikeouts per nine went from 9.3 to 7.9. Yeah, strikeouts to walk 3.05 to 2.30. I mean, it was terrible. And if Fromber plays better at all, just a little bit better, just two games better, you are in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, Fromber killed you. You had, and the whole time we talked about this, as long as Hunter Brown and Fromber are Hunter and Fromber, you should be okay. And the problem you had is Hunter got a little jittery in there for about four games, and then he locked back in. Fromber got a little dicey, and then we waited for it to just lock back in, and it never really materialized. And you couldn't fade it. With this many injuries, you couldn't fade. And unfortunately, Javier didn't come back like we hoped. Garcia didn't come back like we hoped. McCullers did not do anything that was unexpected. Arrigetti did not come back like we hoped. All of those, you just needed one guy. Just one guy to come back and be average to above average, and you couldn't get it.
Yep. Well, I mean, everyone
really disappointed, man. Really, when you think about it, yeah, for all the injuries and all, but you were there. Forget that's why I have a hard time with this. Well, yeah, but all the injuries. Yeah, but you had it all year long, and you were right there. You were winning the division by five games with all those same injuries.
Yeah.
That's why I don't use it as an excuse anymore, because you overcame it. You already showed me you could overcome it.
You were actually better.
You were.
But guys, you know, I don't know how to look at that, tell you the truth. I don't know. You'd have been better if all your guys were healthy. I mean, there's no question.
Sure.
You'd have been better. All right, we got a break. We're way behind. Time to talk about ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com, they're not way behind. They're way ahead. They're ahead of the game. They're ahead of the entire industry. It's ridiculous how good. Pro Dunk has the best goal that you'll ever see. The everything about it, the tempered glass backboard, the unrustable stanchion, the installation, it is just the raise in and lower the goal with the push of a button. It's the perfect goal. It's the perfect goal. It's got such curb appeal. You know, there's a lot of goals that'll make your place look bad. Not a Pro Dunk goal. It makes it look, I mean, it is. I mean, your kids are on a Pro Dunk goal. Everybody knows, the neighborhood knows you love your kids. If you don't love your kids, get one of those baskets with put the sand in the base. But I'm telling you, okay? And then you just want them to sit and play games inside all day. You do that because they can't reach the 10-foot goal, first of all. It's not any fun. It shakes. It's no good. It's just no good. Show your family how much you love your kids by getting the Pro Dunk Goal, because it's where all the kids in the neighborhood are going to be talking about and having fun. You want to know where your kids are? They'll be in the driveway playing with a Pro Dunk Goal. ProDunk.com. Tell Keith Tate you heard it right here.